Hi there, I'm Jason.
And I'm Joseph.
And this is The Trek-In, a weekly-ish podcast talking all things Star Trek.
How many earworms did you get out of this? Did you enjoy this? I don't know what your musical theater background is.
I like musicals, and I like this musical. And yes, I did get a couple of earworms.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Top. What are your top three songs in this, or your top song?
See, this is the process. I've been listening to this soundtrack, I think, on repeat since the episode landed.
What do you keep coming back to?
I'm Ready, I'm the X, and Keep Us Connected. With honorary mentions, Status Report, We Are the One, and How Would That Feel?
How Would That Feel is my favorite.
Yeah, that is beautiful. It's absolutely a beautiful song. It is breathtakingly gorgeous, and Lan, Christina Chong is amazing. And I didn't realize that she actually has singles out. Like, you can go on to Spotify and listen to three of her songs that she does, and she has like a really beautiful, like, soft Sade kind of vibe going on. She's a beautiful singer.
Yeah, no, I was kind of blown away by how good she was.
Mm-hmm. I was watching the episode, and then Status Report, when she showed up, I'm like, whoa, like, it just kind of hit me. You know, how, like she's got it. I mean, a majority of the actors on the show seem to have some singing talent one way or the other. But they auto-tuned, you know, Mbanga, of course. And I think, you know, like, Pike is okay. But, you know, he still sounded good when he had to do what he had to do. But, like, Ortega sounded great. Like, Ethan Peck sounded great. They all sounded really fucking good. Obviously, the Christina Chong and the I forget the name of the actress who plays Chapel. She was amazing too.
Jess Bush.
Jess Bush. Yeah, I'm just whoa. I was very happy. I think my least favorite song is easy for me to just go like it was the one between number one and Kirk. I didn't like that track.
Yeah, that one was pretty forgettable.
Yeah, it was a little too old-fashioned musical for me. I prefer more of a modern musical.
Yeah, it was very, it felt like Mary Poppins to me.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a little too, you go back a little too far from my taste.
It was a little chitty chitty bang bang.
Yeah, yeah, and that's not my vibe. And it's sad because, like, I like her voice. Like, I like Keeping Secrets. It's not my favorite, but I like Keeping Secrets. Overall, like, you can tell the director and the show, they were like, we wanted the bar of, it was Buffy the Vampire Slayer that was their inspiration, to the point where they even had a nod to Buffy the Vampire Slayer's It Must Be Bunny's line from I Got a Theory, the song I Got a Theory from the Buffy musical. It's like, it was Anya who was like, I have a theory, it could be bunnies. And then there's a whole song about, like, bunnies. You know, like, Anya goes on a little solo rant about it being bunnies. And then they had the line in the show. It's like, well, you want, am I going to turn into a bunny? Is that what's going to happen now?
And Spock was like, it's probably not bunnies.
I prefer not to be a bunny. And Banga continues.
Yeah, yeah. No.
So you know they were winking, like, three times at Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And that beautiful piece of work. And it was. I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer's musical. That was the bar that I had in my head when I'm like, you have to top that. And I think they did a really damn good job. They really did. This has been, I think, universally appreciated. I don't think I saw any reviews online of anyone being like, oh, that fucking sucked.
No, I mean, I've seen a couple people be like, oh, I'm not really into musicals. I think even them, they have to admit, this is pretty entertaining, and the music gimmick is a little funny, like this subspace improbability field.
What was it? It was an alternate universe. They basically ended up putting themselves in an alternate universe.
A musical reality.
Yeah, a musical reality. So as soon as they did that, like, you do whatever the fuck you want now. Buffy's was, they summoned a demon that made the reality a musical. You know. And that was their magical way of doing it. And this, it was an alternate universe, you know, where the rules of physics are behave like musicals. I'm like, all right, done. Perfect. Love it. What do we do now? What songs are we going to get? It was a great excuse. And the fact that you need to, like, get everyone together and build up the momentum and the crescendo into the finale, and that's how you defeat it, was just, was great. It was a great excuse to have a finale like that. It's like, we need more voices, keep singing, hail the Klingons, Uhura! And then we got the K-pop band, the literal K-pop band of the Klingons.
Did you catch who was playing that lead Klingon?
Yep, yeah, that's Hammer. That's Hammer.
Yeah, they brought him back.
That's how they said, we're going to bring him back for the next thing, but you're not going to notice him. He's going to be in different makeup. Yeah, I would not have guessed that.
Sure. Yeah, and it, you know, besides the music being pretty good, like, this actually advanced several plots.
It did. And that's what we were talking about last week. We wondered about whether this was going to just be songs for song's sake. You know, it's just going to be a Star Trek musical, ha ha ha, let's just have fun with it. Or is it going to be like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where it's like, we are advancing plots. We are there to cause some trouble as a result. And that was one of the major points of everyone's issues with being in this musical reality. That's what Laan was worried about. She's like, I don't want to be next to Kirk if I have to sing, because if I sing, I'm going to give away something, you know, and I don't want to do that. Like, people were not happy. Like, Pike was not happy having to sing with his girlfriend. Yeah, it was like, I realize what you mean now. Like, this is not appropriate. We have to stop this, you know? So it was part of the plot that everyone was so upset that they were giving away plot to each other.
Let's talk about Kirk and Laan for a second.
Oh, boy.
I'm glad they didn't do that in a song. And I was not expecting a Carol Marcus drop.
Nope.
Or a pregnancy drop.
So we know exactly where we are in time at this stage of the game. Like, this is right before Kirk abandons Marcus to go dedicate himself completely to Starfleet.
Yeah, and I guess now we know, because it was always unclear to me in, like, Wrath of Khan, like, if he actually, like, was fully aware of David's existence. But yeah, I guess he totally was.
Yeah, no, he was. He just was, his decision was to stay away. I guess it was a decision that they made together. Which means next season we may get some Carol Marcus drama. We may visit that at some point. You know, it's a really juicy thing to have, to be able to say, like, all right, we have her come in, you know, we spark things up and then we leave. Like, basically, a lot of the romances, I guess, in the show are like things that we know are predestined to fail. We see it nice for a moment and then it fucks it all up and they leave.
I'm surprised how quickly Spock and Chapel have, like, fizzled out.
Yeah, we basically had it this entire season, and I think it's good for the show, because Ethan Peck's Spock, the way he is this season, is very vulnerable, and I think we're seeing basically this one shot that he had to be this vulnerable, and then it's like, never mind, I'm never doing this again. And Chapel being kind of a free spirit, but also a little immature when it comes to romance, like, being like, hey, this is a great idea, let's follow this emotion. And then being like, oh, you know what, I can't commit to this. Because that's been her character the entire time. You know, so it fits perfectly.
I have a suspicion that at the beginning of next season, Chapel's going to come back and she's going to be engaged to Roger Corby.
Yeah, something like that. It's like her future is just going to, like, take off in a very different direction. And that's going to be a whole different dynamic for them.
And eventually that guy gets turned into a robot.
And then eventually Chapel still holds a torch for Spock forever.
And then I wonder, did you get the same feeling? I get the feeling that we're never going to see Batel again.
Yeah. I just got, sorry, I'm going to be the one to change our vacation plans. And I got just announced to be on a top secret mission or whatever like that. And I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen next episode.
It was that whole, like, oh, we'll talk about it next time I see you, and I'm like,
yeah, I don't think this is the next time. This is how these things go.
Well, did you see the preview for next week?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what's going on. She's on the other side of that line, and she's gonna have some Gorn problems. It was very obvious they were leading up to this. It was a very specifically worded conversation, and you can tell that this was meant to be, from the viewer's perspective, like, uh oh. Pike's going to have a lot of emotions involved in this.
Also, do you get the feeling that Sam Kirk is going to leave the Enterprise because all of his coworkers like his brother better?
I think he's going to die.
Well, he is going to die, but he's going to leave the ship first.
You think he's going to leave the ship first? I don't think so.
Oh, he does, though. Sam Kirk is in, you know, the original series.
Oh, that's right.
He's not alive in the original series. Like, they go to a planet and he's just, he's dead, and it's like Shatner in a mustache.
That's hilarious. I don't know then. I mean, again, if he's gonna leave, and not, and I don't know. I don't remember the episode in the original series now. I'm gonna have to rewatch that, and then I'll get back to you on that.
Operation Annihilate.
Operation Annihilate. Jesus, that's why I don't remember it. Not the greatest episode.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not for Sam.
No, poor Sam. So one of the things that I loved the most about this episode was that if you're watching and listening, you're listening to and seeing I'm Ready, where Chapel is like dancing around the bar, and then you basically get the exact same song reprised in the most saddest, depressing Spock version, but it's the same song.
Yeah, but the Spock reprise is better, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I think a lot more people relate to the Spock version because it's more about, you know, being in love and being like the ex, you know, being the sad bus. It has more universal relevance, whereas I'm Ready is more of a very happy. I'm Ready is just more of a happy, very specific in universe. You know, she sings about the Fellowship all the time, so. I think that's why. But, like, I love the fact that it's the same song. It's just that the X is just a reprise of it. And it has this relationship to each other. It's like, it's fucking beautiful and brilliant. God, that's why, like, I'm Ready, the X, and Keep Us Connected are my favorites. Because just musically, they're just amazing songs. How Would That Feel has that same energy, too. And also, I just keep listening to all of these songs over and over again. So it's hard to just choose just one or two.
Are they in Spotify or Apple Music?
Spotify, yeah. I've been listening to them on Spotify. But you can buy the soundtrack on iTunes. And yes, it's available on Apple Music.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a whole lot else to say besides this was really good. I didn't know what to expect, and I was very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, it came in at a full, like, hour. You know, they just made the episode a full hour, you know, without commercials and everything. It's just... That's how it be, to make room for all the tracks and all the songs. It was beautifully done. I'm a big fan of this. This whole season has been character development in some of the most experimental, fun, crazy ways we've ever seen Star Trek go. And Strange New Worlds shows that, like, we can be a little crazy, and we can go a little nuts and be experimental, and it's going to be fun, and it'll still be true to the characters and the story of the Enterprise.
I love that we've gotten back finally to just a show that can be like completely different week to week, right? And like take on different genres and be episodic. It's like the thing that we loved about the original series and Next Generation. And it's back again in a much shinier, very well-produced package.
Yeah, but they're not... forgoing the thing that they did every single time in those shows. Like, things matter. Like, there is character development between all these things. You know, it's like it's episodic in all the ways that it matters, but it still carries through. Like, the previously on is still an important part of this show. You know, it's like all the things that happen to the characters in this episode are going to have an effect in the next episode. And forever. Like, it's not just forgotten the next episode in, which Next Generation, the original series, and even sometimes Deep Space Nine, you have these like, oh, you know, all these big important things happen, but then we kind of forget that it didn't happen. We reset it in the next episode, and it doesn't matter anymore. But Strange New Worlds does not do that. We have these big, giant episodes, and they're important, and they're crazy, and the next episode... It's still, it happened. You feel it. That's what's so brilliant about the way Strange Away. It's the best of both worlds, so to speak.
Yeah, no, this show's great. And I'm going to be really sad after it goes off the air for an unknown amount of time next week.
Oh, fuck, it's right. Next week, yep, is the finale. Went by so fast.
I know. It's been the thing I've looked forward to most for the past couple of weeks.
And that's it. We get Ahsoka after this.
Yeah, this is it for us covering Star Trek for a little while after this.
Mm-hmm.
Until we finally get Disco back, whenever that is.
Well, that's the final season on that.
Yeah. But who knows when we're going to get more of this show with the writer's strike.
Speaking of behind-the-scenes stuff, did you hear what Jonathan Frakes said about the finale of Disco?
I did not.
He was in the middle of shooting the finale of the season, and they found out that got canceled while they were shooting the finale of the season.
Oh, shit.
And then he had to go because he didn't have the schedule to go and continue directing because they needed to rewrite the whole finale to be a series finale and not a season finale.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to be just so good.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Can't wait to see what they pull out of their asses for that. Poor Disco.
I know. That show, I don't love it, but I do feel bad for it a lot of the time.
Yeah. I mean, I do too. There's so much potential in that show. There was so much potential. And then, you know, yeah.
Wasted potential.
Yeah. And then, yeah, writers being writers. Whoever showrun that show just didn't know how to do it. And it was just too early. I mean, again, Disco flailed all over itself. So Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds could be as epic and amazing and perfect as it is. So
and for that, we are thankful.
Yes. And so I'm sure I am going to be watching Disco this season, and I will have the same exact, like, oh, honey, mentality about it. But till then, I'm just going to watch this episode on repeat. Da ba 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 ba.
We didn't even talk about the a cappella opening. Big fan.
No, we did not. Which was also brilliant and beautiful.
Yeah. No, I am. I will miss this show, but I am excited to see how we wrap up the season next week.
Okay. Well, until then, man.
All right. So follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Trek In Pod, and feel free to send us any questions, concerns, comments, complaints at thetrekinpod@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm Jason.
And I'm Joseph.
Thank you for listening, and we will trek in with you next week.
Hailing the frequencies closed. Good night.